Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. Thank you for joining us today. You're going to notice that we're shifting the format a bit on our show, and we're really excited about it. We want you as a listener to help us develop the show. Also, I'm looking for guests, co-hosts, and guest expert. And an expert doesn't have to be credentialed. If you're a parent who have something important to share that would help our listeners with what you've been through, what your children have been through, or what your family have been through, then you're an expert. So please send me an email at info@parentpumpradio.com. So now, on to our show. Our guest today is a community liaison at Clear Recovery Center. He works to educate the public and raise awareness surrounding addictions, as well as health and wellness in this community. He works with local schools, awareness groups, and health-focused organizations to promote healthy living and help provide a solution to addiction. His love is working with adolescents and young adults and is passionate about spreading information about health and recovery based on his own experience. He has worked with and spoken at various schools throughout the South Bay and San Diego, and I've had the pleasure to listen to him as an expert panelist. He also works to educate about recovery through online blogging. So if you're looking for an expert speaker on addiction and health wellness, look no further than our guest today, Howard Barker. Welcome.
Thank you, Jacqueline. It's a pleasure to be on here, and I appreciate the kind words. You kind of give me a lot to live up to right there.
I've heard you speak, and your knowledge is amazing. Great to really have you on this show. And you can find Howard at clearrecoverycenter.com and also on Facebook at Clear Recovery Center.
Please check it out. We got a lot of good information on both locations. Again, a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about how you got started in this health and wellness field.
It's definitely near and dear to my heart. I actually am in recovery myself. And so I'm sober. And in 2011 is when I got sober, actually. And I came to the South Bay to get sober back then. I went through New Life House. And, you know, I quickly, as my life kind of came back together, I realized that I was really drawn towards working with other people. And I found this passion inside of me that I'd never experienced before that came along with watching other people change their lives as well. And so as time went on, the natural progression was I started working with others. I started taking courses to get my counseling certifications. And I just kind of found myself naturally falling into it. And so it's been almost 5.5 years now since 2011. And I just fell in love with working with other people. My own life has been so profoundly changed as a result of starting to focus in on health and wellness and recovery and healthy living in general. I'm just really excited to share that with other people because of the impact that it's had on my own life and the lives of the people around me. I don't think that there are many topics that are more pertinent.
I know you work here at Clear Recovery, and there's two locations. Can you tell us how your center is different in helping people with addiction and overcoming that?
Absolutely. So we do. We have two locations. We have the one here in Redondo Beach, and we also just opened one up in Manhattan Beach. We do a lot of work with addiction and substance abuse. We also do a lot of work with other things, mental health, trauma, anxiety, depression. When our founder created Clear Recovery Center, I think the biggest difference was we come from the recovery world, right? So we have a lot of background in seeing what does work and what doesn't work when it comes to helping young people and adults as well. And so with Clear Recovery Center, what we really set out to do is create something that was dynamic, right? Something that was organic, something that, because individuals aren't cut from the same mold, right? Everybody's different. Everyone's unique. Everyone has different life experiences and underlying issues and things that shape the way that we behave and interact with each other. And so with Clear Recovery Center, we set out to kind of bring that into a center that provided dynamic, changing, adaptive resources to our client. A traditional outpatient facility, they will have a track. And they'll say, well, you come in and you're in this group. And then at 3 weeks into it, you graduate to this group. And then 3 weeks after that, you graduate to this. And they follow a cookie cutter track, regardless of what's going on individually with the client, regardless of what's happening on the back end with the family. And there's no adaption. So with Clear Recovery Center, and we do a lot of other stuff as well, but I guess one of the biggest differentiating factors is, as opposed to doing that, we meet people where they're at and we adapt their treatment and we adapt their recovery program accordingly. And so let's say that we have a group and one of the clients just lost a grandparent or someone just had some serious issues at work. instead of on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, every single day, it's a relapse prevention group and it's a, you know, then a nutrition group. We're going to say, wait, the counselors in the clinical meeting and the therapists are going to say, wait a second, this is something that we're seeing coming up. So then today at 1 o'clock, we're going to run a group on dealing with loss in early recovery, as opposed to no, Tuesday is this day. And so we try to adapt everything and stay organic in order to actually give clients exactly what they need and help them out the best that we can.
Okay. So I know you help the community. What if a listener is not from the Los Angeles area, say they're from out of the country or maybe back east?
Totally.
What can they do?
It really depends. There's a lot of great resources when it comes to finding help. Obviously, Clear Recovery Center is local to the South Bay area and the Los Angeles in general, but there are a lot of options if someone is looking for help, and it really depends on what they're struggling with. So if substance abuse and addiction, then there's a lot of great facilities depending on where they're at individually that they can go into that are residential. Clear obviously isn't residential. However, we do have some local sober livings that we work with. So if it was an issue of them wanting to come out here, that's an option. There's also a lot of other really great resources nationwide. And if one of the listeners does have any questions, I'm totally willing, if they want to give me a call personally, even if it's not about Clear, to kind of guide them or help them out with finding something that's a good fit for them or their loved ones.
And we'll have the information for Howard in the show notes too.
Cool.
So, well, since this is a New Year's episode, I want to concentrate on what are some of the things that people can do, because we're all talking about New Year's resolution, but I really want to, they say, I think like what, 2/3 of people that make resolutions don't end up following something like that, some outrageous number. I thought about maybe it should be more like a daily resolution, because sometimes when you think of something you got to do for a whole year, it seems so hard, and you, after a month, you don't want to go to the gym anymore. So maybe start thinking just daily. And I think probably with addiction, it's a lot like that, right? You just get through that moment. And if you're not doing the drugs, the alcohol, you've accomplished something, you should celebrate that.
Absolutely.
What are some of the biggest habits that people do that are not good for them or not healthy for them going into the new year?
There's a few that we see that are universal, right? It's not just working with people with substance abuse, but universal issues that people struggle with. And it's working too much is a big one. Workaholics, people that are, I'm slightly guilty
as
myself.
As an entrepreneur, I'm guilty of that.
Oh, yeah. It's, I'm sitting
and
here.
A single mom, I'm guilty
totally,
of that too.
Totally. And it's hard, right? Because there's a lot of, we have a lot of responsibilities and people that depend on us. But that working too much is definitely something that can do damage to us personally. Another big one that we're really seeing a lot right now is lack of sleep. This one's especially big with teenagers right now. People, high schoolers, serious issues with not getting enough sleep. That's starting to have some pretty big impacts in their lives. Work, life, relationships, and overall balance. But I guess ultimately the underpinning of all of this is a lack of balance that we see as a big issue.
They talk about balancing your life. For me, it's about harmony. Sometimes you can't always balance being a single mom and entrepreneur and just helping the community. Sometimes I can't balance it. But if I feel that I'm in harmony somehow with doing those things and myself, I like that word for me, at least.
Totally. Well, and I think you bring up an interesting point, right? Because balance it might not always necessarily mean that everything is just on an even keel.
Yeah.
Right? Balance, there can be balance when you're passionate about what you're doing and you're moving forward with purpose. So even if you might be very busy and there might be a lot going on, your life can still be balanced. I think that the lack of balance comes when we let other things in our lives that are important suffer as the result of obsessions with one thing or another, when we let our family relationships suffer, when we let the people that depend on us fall to the wayside, when we become too overly obsessed with one thing and as a result, unmanageability creeps into our life. Maybe I'm overly obsessed with exercise at this given time. And so as a result, I'm not focusing on the people that depend on me or my work life. Maybe I'm too obsessed with work right now at the expense of my children. But yeah, no, I'm definitely a type A personality. And I'm not saying that we should all just kind of sit back.
I find for me, what's hard is if I just, like, say I need to exercise. For me to go from maybe exercising once or twice a week to doing it 4 or 5 times, I might be able to do that for about a month and then I'm done. It's like I get burned out, or even I'm sure for some people, healthy eating, right? They do the diet.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really about lifestyle change, and that takes little bits of changes.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I used to eat red meat all the time.
Yeah.
I hung out with a lot of Brazilians, so red meat was it. And then I had got pregnant about 13 years ago, and I lost the craving for red meat. And afterwards, after having my daughter, I stopped eating red meat just because I didn't feel good anymore. And now my body is kind of used to it. And I tell people, if you're going to make a resolution or make a change, don't just dive right in and make that complete change. Do you agree?
I think you bring up a couple issues that kind of come to mind with that. And the first is that I think there can be times when diving in head first can be helpful.
Yes.
Whenever we're working That's with true. A habit.
Yeah.
A habit or a behavior that's causing harm to an individual, then a lot of times it does take that initial plunge in order to overcome it. But when it comes to things that you brought up, a great point. Actually, in South Bay Wellness for January, we have an article about this. You brought up the point about diets. Yeah. People want to jump into fad diets. They jump into these extreme restrictive, I'm going to change everything about my life, and they're not effective. Why? They're not sustainable. And that really kind of comes down to the problem with New Year's resolutions in general is a lot of the time is a lack of consistency. And so I think you bring up a really good point, because while it is important when you're working with a habit that's causing immediate harm or problems in someone's life to kind of take that plunge and make those big shifts, any shift that you're trying to make in your life without consistency is not going to be effective. And that's not exclusive to just New Year's. Anytime we make a commitment to something and we don't have consistency with the follow through, and that's the little things that are hard, is I'm going to start getting up earlier. I can do it really well for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, you know, I'm going to sleep in 15 extra minutes today. But right there, it's like that lack of consistency is where you get into problem. And so it's the little things that really help you succeed with those. Eating breakfast at the same time every day, waking up at the same time. Like, that kind of consistency really breeds success. And the lack of discipline really is what causes people a lot of the issues. You know?
So then what do you think are the obstacles that prevents people from really accomplishing what they want to do?
That's another great question, and it's all about looking inward. I think that as a culture, we have a tendency to kind of point outward. Well, I have these responses, all these different strings pulling on me, and it's too hard. I'm too overwhelmed. When really, those obstacles are all created internally. You know, those are the things when we really get honest and we take a step back. That's what we see, and so the way you develop that consistency and the way that we remove those obstacles is we look at our own character. What specific bag of tricks do we walk around with that prevent us from being consistent? What obstacles do we create in our own lives? You could call them defects. You could call them shortcomings. You could call them quirks of character.
Sometimes I call it blind spots.
Love it. You can't see what you can't see, and you don't know what you don't know. Absolutely. And those are the most insidious, because when we're not aware of this, I hesitate to use the word flaw because it is the way it is. And I don't want to pass judgment on it, but those are the things that when we are able to see with clarity and then make a shift with, that's when we see the shift in the external world in our lives as well. Are we fearful? Are we lazy? Do we switch between things really quickly? Do we get swayed and influenced easily by others? Everybody has their own reasons. And once we figure that out and work through that stuff, that's when everything else becomes a lot more effortless.
I know that when I follow through with something, as opposed to doing something and not following through with some of my goals and planning, there's a book called Start With Why. It really has to do with your inner self, like you were talking about, is start with the why, the purpose. Why are you wanting to go on a diet? Why do you want to stop drinking? If it's for someone else, it doesn't last very long, because until it has a crucial why for you and a crucial purpose, and the purpose is a bigger vision. It's not just for now. It's for 20 years from now, to see your grandkids grow up or to walk your daughter down the aisle, it doesn't make as much of an impact.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you said the operative word there is purpose. And that has to be something that we find for ourselves. For me, and one of the reasons I like health and wellness so much is that I found that really in working with other people and helping other people out. And service, I find, is a really good way to get in touch with that purpose. For a lot of people, actually, there's something that happens with it. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
So you work with a lot of people here, and I'm sure you've seen people who make it all the way through that works for them, and then some can't keep that consistency for whatever reason. Is there a pattern? Is there something that you see that's similar with the people that can't keep that consistency and the ones that can? What can they learn from and develop?
I think one is a lack of self-honesty. I think for people that have a tough time looking at themselves it can be really difficult to develop that consistency, because a lot of times changing habits is uncomfortable. When we're dealing with something as serious as substance abuse, and also when we're dealing with something as seemingly trivial as watching too much Netflix every night.
I'm guilty.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I'll tell you
especially for the holidays.
That's why I'm drinking this coffee right now, watching a new show on Netflix. So I was up a little too late last night. A lot of this is personal experience. But I think that it can be uncomfortable for us to look in the mirror sometimes, especially when it's not accomplishments or positives that we're looking at, but it's these shortcomings. And so one of the consistent that we see a lot is that lack of self-honesty. Not always because someone's a bad person, but sometimes they're just, it's too painful for them in that given moment. And that's where the assistance comes in, and really coaching them and walking them through them and guiding them and helping them to develop that. Another one that I would say is a lack of willingness. And any of this stuff that we're describing, and you probably know this very well as an entrepreneur, but there's times when it's about buckling down and just kind of doing what you got to do. And it's uncomfortable, and you have to make sacrifices. I mean, that willingness, it's got to be brought in anytime we want to make a shift or change in our lives. We have to be willing to kind of do what's necessary. Again, that applies to stuff as serious as substance abuse. And it also applies to stuff as, I don't want to say not serious, but stuff like fitness goals.
Yeah.
That willingness to make those shifts.
I agree. We've talked a lot about what people can do, can't do. And sometimes it's information overload, I feel. And, you know, when I have a list of 10 things and I can't do it, I just don't do any of it. So then since it's New Year's, let's talk about maybe three fun and innovative ways that people can bring health and wellness into this 2017.
Three innovative and fun ways that aren't the standard. Okay, how about so three? So I would say one, set up a date once a week with a friend or family member to do something healthy, like going for a bike ride or a hike or a dog walk, something where you get to connect with someone else in a healthy way, but it's fun and you're looking forward to doing it. I would say try eating once a week something new that's healthy for you that you've never eaten before, right? So as opposed to just this rigorous rule of I'm going to eat healthy, but try to make it exciting. I'm going to eat something new that I've never tried before that's healthy once a week. And it's, again, something to look forward to and shake things up.
I was thinking you can mix the one and two. You can cook with that person something
new. Yeah. Wow. That's innovation. That's why you're an entrepreneur. I didn't even think about that. But you kill two birds with one stone and it's even more fun.
And go for a walk afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Or a bike ride.
Yeah.
We're in Manhattan. We have the luxury of Manhattan Beach being nearby.
That's nice.
So.
Yes.
And then the last one I would say, this one can be really powerful, is researching one person you admire. Someone that's healthy, obviously. Figuring out what it is that they do to be healthy. We mirror what we see other people do a lot. Mm-hmm. And when we look up to them, we often try to do the same things that they do. Because if I want to get to where someone else is, then I realize I have to do what they're doing. And I think that when we're able to attribute that success or those qualities that we admire in someone else, and we're able to attribute that to behaviors and things that they do, we're more likely to say, okay, I see them doing that successfully. I'm going to try that out in my own life. I mean, honestly, if you're just implementing those three things in your life, I think you're going to see a quality of life improvement.
Yeah, I think that's great. Year. I have a mentor who is very successful. And, you know, in NLP, we talk about modeling success. Find whoever is doing what you want to do and the success at it, and find out what they're doing, how they're doing it, what they're thinking, what they're saying to themselves. If you don't know them personally, they have biographies. You can read it. My mentor gave me a really great story. He says, if you're making bread, there's a certain amount of yeast, a certain amount of water, a certain amount of sugar, a certain amount of flour, and it has to be consistent every time. If you deviate from that, it changes the recipe, and not enough yeast or whatever it is, the bread doesn't come out the same way. Success is the same formula. Mm. If you try to deviate that formula, you're not going to get that same result. People who are successful in finance, in relationship, in health and wellness, they do the same thing, the same recipe every single time. And I thought that was really powerful, because a lot of us try to think, oh, well, if I just party one night, if I just go off this one time, it's okay. But it's like, yeah, you can, but that recipe is not going to come out the same way.
Totally. Couldn't agree with you more. And again, it kind of goes back to that whole consistency thing. When we're willing to stick with something that works, we get great results. And this is, you know, I think we focus a lot on health and wellness, and we think about physical health and nutrition, but this is emotional situations
and
too,
spiritual.
Right? And spiritual, exactly.
Right, we talk about meditation companies. We're talking about the Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. Apple, Google. They're actually having their employees, encouraging them to meditate during office time.
Yeah.
Because they have found such consistency in the way people think, the way people behave when they have that. So it all connects. Once it manifests into something physical, it's been in your body for a long time, right? They say stress is a cause of over 90% of diseases. And that's nothing to do really physical. It's more mental and emotional.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you probably see a lot of that, because then people turn to substance, whether it's food, alcohol, drugs.
Well, especially in somewhere like the South Bay, and I know that listeners are from other places, just not just the South Bay, but I think it can apply in any high pressure, high success motivated environment. And like you said, that stress leads people, when you're not coping with that on the spiritual and emotional level mm-hmm. and dealing with it in healthy ways, it's going to manifest and come out in different ways. You're going to start using other things to deal with it. And when we learn more effective ways to cope with things, we don't see some of those problems. And again, that comes back down to the consistency of if I have found a healthier way to cope, you know, consistently using it. I think there's something we said for the consistency of knowing when, for family members, knowing when to ask for help.
Very,
you know what I mean?
Very important.
Because sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it's beyond just, okay, I'm going to make some changes in my habits and fix things. And it's like, okay, I need professional help. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Let's think of what if. What if you don't have consistency in your life? What could happen? If people don't start now, what do you see as the result?
Well, I think that whatever your goal is, not even just in terms of health and wellness, business, relationships mm-hmm. you mentioned, spiritually, you're going to always run into walls. Always going to hit walls, and whether this is health or anything else, and you're always going to miss the mark, which leads to that lack of happiness that we want to achieve in life. It leads to being able to fulfill that purpose. And again, this is especially pertinent in the realm of health, because we see people really doing a lot of damage to themselves as a result of not being able to pick up that consistency. But this is with anything that we have goals.
And I think sometimes when someone is young, say in their 20s and 30s, it's easier to bounce back.
Yeah.
But what you don't realize is the damage that you've done during those age will affect you in your 40s, 50s, and really like 60s. But I've seen other people who have done a lot of unhealthy habits. And now that they're just hitting 40s and 50s, it's almost like they're in their 60s with health.
And you know, you bring up, I think we discussed potentially doing a whole nother show on this topic, so I won't go dive into it too much, but you're right. There's this mentality that as long as things look good on the outside, I'm going to keep going the way that I'm going. And yeah, sometimes that damage might not show up for 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years, but there's consequences to everything that we do. Whatever we put into our bodies, the emotional decisions that we make, the relationships mm-hmm. that we get into, the way that we treat other people. So yeah, again, that's, I think, a whole nother topic.
There's so many topics we can get
into. Yeah, but I agree with you.
What are some of the future things that you're getting into right now that the listeners should know about?
Cool. Yeah. So right now what I'm really excited about is the magazine we've been working on. So we just started publishing a magazine called South Bay Wellness. So we just finished our December, well, not just, we finished our December release early December, and the community responded really well to it. Putting on the finishing touches for the January edition, we more than doubled production for this one because we got such a positive response. And so actually when we finish this, I got to go finish proofreading.
You're sort of an editor too.
I am. Yeah, I am. We're really excited about that. It's what we wanted do, because obviously, so Clear Recovery Center, we do a lot of work with the substance abuse and the anxiety and the depression and everything that I talked about. And so it's a lot of solving problems. Well, we also wanted to do something that was more highlighting positive stuff that was happening, the healthy lifestyles that are already going on, highlight professionals in the community that are contributing to that, highlight organizations in the community that are contributing to that. And so we've created a magazine, free magazine, and basically we have different articles surrounding health and wellness, from physical health all the way to mental health. We've got a really exciting issue coming up for January. A lot of it is all similar topics, right? New Year's resolutions. We've got a cool piece on yoga. We interviewed a local yogi teacher. So a lot of really good stuff. And so we're very excited about that. And then the Recovery Center, we're just, we like to stay really involved in the community. And so we've been doing a lot of work with the schools lately. That stuff is continuing.
Is the magazine available online for people who maybe can't
We're working on rolling out the online edition right now.
Okay.
December was our first publication. We're working on the online edition and that should be available soon. I'll drop you a heads up as soon as it goes live.
Okay. So last question. What's the biggest thing that people think they know about the health and what you're an expert at here at Let's Talk About Health and Wellness that isn't true?
Biggest thing that people think they know that isn't true. I think the biggest thing that people think they know that isn't true is that they know what's best for them a lot of the time. I think that people, and let me qualify that really quickly.
Okay.
And explain what I mean by that. I think that a lot of times people will get ideas in their head about what needs to change in their lives. You said something earlier about us not being able to see what we can't see. Sometimes because of that, we'll tell ourselves stories about what problems are when really we're not seeing the problem. And I think that it can be really, really helpful to reach out to people to help give us clarity with that stuff. There's a lot of ways to do that. There's inside of the spirit, whatever your personal spiritual practice is, finding teachers in that area. Obviously with the substance abuse stuff, finding a professional, even if you're an entrepreneur, finding, like you mentioned, finding a mentor. I think that sometimes people, we can be very willful and we think we know what the problem is and sometimes we can miss the mark with it.
I really agree with that. Sometimes when I go into companies, I do corporate training in leadership and we do a 360 evaluation.
Mm.
And what that is we ask questions to each person in the management position. We'll get a 360. So we ask what they see as their strength, what they see as their blind spot. And then we ask their coworker. We ask their, sometimes even their spouse, their employees to get the same perspective.
Huh.
And you'd be surprised, it's never the same answers.
Yeah.
Sometimes what we think is our weakness, people have a different perspective of it. And sometimes we don't even know our strength and people see it and it's crazy.
Yeah.
I have executives that will say, I never realized that I did that. That's just me, but other people view it as such a great thing.
Totally.
And so I think that's great that you said, and it brings me back to the point that sometimes maybe when you do make a resolution or something big that you want to change in your life, it'd be good to ask perspective to someone else to say, what do you think? Can I do this? What do I need to do to change?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I also think that in general, involving other people in any positive changes we're trying to make in our lives is going to be helpful. It gives us accountability and it connects us with someone else. Getting that, like you said, perspective and getting that connection and having someone that you're on the journey with is really powerful. Again, we see that when it comes to recovery from substance abuse, other emotional issues as well. Community and being connected with someone else is so powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
So powerful.
And you want to create goals and expectation based on a running toward that we call that NLP instead of running away from. That doesn't last very long.
Totally.
And I think if someone in a different perspective can see that it's not out of fear that you're making these resolution or goals. It's out of wanting to change.
For sure.
Well, we're out of time for this show and we thank you for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Howard. And all this information about Clear Recovery and the newsletter will be in the show notes. Have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missions.radio.org. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured on missions.radio.org. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.